This is Rhode Island Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Chuck Hinman in Providence. Summer is the season for festivals here in Rhode Island, and heading into this last weekend in July, two festivals are offering very different experiences. For this month's Artscape, we'll look at both of them. The Providence Fringe Festival, Fringe PVD 2016, is now underway through Saturday. A relative newcomer to the art scene in Rhode Island, this theatrical festival features about 200 performers in various locations around the city. The festival's founder says you'll see some, quote, really weird out there stuff. We'll talk about that coming up, but first... The Newport Jazz Festival kicks off tomorrow, 62 years after its founding in 1954. We're listening to the Rhode Island Senior All-State Jazz Band right now with their version of Gingerbread Boy by the great saxophone player and composer Jimmy Heath. This band, featuring high school seniors from around Rhode Island, gets to open things on Saturday morning at 11 at Fort Adams. The band will be conducted by Brown University music professor Matt McGarrell. And McGarrell says they are in for a treat because the Newport Jazz Festival happens to be honoring Jimmy Heath and...
And he's agreed to appear with the Rhode Island All-State Jazz Band. He's performing on Friday night with his band, the Heath Brothers, sort of legends of jazz. I don't know that you could say that they're originators of bebop, but they certainly were there at the beginning of the bebop phase and influenced a lot of people from that point on, and Jimmy Heath in particular has led bands and made recordings with everybody. So it's a great honor for the jazz band to even just meet him, never mind be able to play his music.
Joining me now is writer and photographer Johnette Rodriguez. Johnette, I've enjoyed your coverage of music and the arts over the years in the Phoenix and elsewhere, and it's great to have you on Rhode Island Public Radio. How cool is it that the Senior All-State Jazz Ensemble gets to play the Newport Jazz Festival, and maybe with jazz legend Jimmy Heath? This should be a day to remember.
It's a wonderful start for them as young people starting to play music and being on the Newport Jazz Festival stage.
What have we got to look forward to for the rest of the day?
One of the things I always like to tell people is don't miss the small stages. First of all, you can get out of the sun or the rain. And secondly, you discover people you hadn't heard about but you might really love. Very specifically, Henry Butler is playing on two different small stages, and he's like a reincarnation of Professor Longhair. He plays piano. One of his sets he's doing solo, I think, and the other one he's doing with Bernstein and the Hot Nine, and they are just fabulous. You feel like you're in New Orleans. And Sunday on the small stages, there's a swinging tintet of female clarinetist Anat Cohen, who wrote a song especially for George Wein that she calls the Wein Machine. And I'm sure you'll see George in the audience.
So what do you think is in store for the jazz festival now that Christian McBride will be taking over as artistic director for George Wein?
I think initially it won't change that much. I think George will still have some input. I think Christian has an incredible, almost encyclopedic knowledge of not just jazz, but other music. And that's been one of the things that's been happening in the last few years, is those bands that are exploring other genres, like bringing in a little hip-hop, bringing in a little rock or pop or whatever, he knows those bands. He will think about that. He will want to continue to bring young people into the festival.
Well, great. Johnette Rodriguez, writer, photographer, music fan. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks, Chuck.
Meanwhile, as the Newport Jazz Festival leavens tradition with more modern forms to create renewed vitality, in Providence, Fringe PVD 2016 is breaking boundaries that weren't even apparent to most of us just a few years ago. That's when festival founder Josh Short started Providence Fringe. Short is artistic director of the city's Wilbury Theater Group, and he says by the time Providence got Fringe, it had been around for almost 70 years, originating in Scotland.
Well, it started in Edinburgh, and that was in 1947 when the first Fringe Festival was put on. And then I think it was named actually in 1948 by the journalists who were like, oh yeah, this is a great Fringe Festival, Fringe to the main arts festival that they did. And then, you know, they spread over Europe and Canada. And then, yeah, the last 20 years or so, these cities around the U.S., New York, obviously, but then, you know, the Hollywood Fringe Festival has grown into this major thing, and the Capitol Fringe Festival down in D.C. So they've really started growing and taking a life of their own.
So how about New England? Is Providence the main one?
Yeah, we are the largest Fringe Festival in New England.
So what are the defining characteristics of a Fringe Festival?
Well, I think the main thing is that it's open to anybody that wants to participate. We try and keep everything accessible for both the audiences and the artist. For an artist, it's very easy to apply, not cost prohibitive. The real backbone of the Fringe Festival theory is that it's easy for them to present their own work and that it can be profitable for them and expose audiences to this work that they wouldn't otherwise see.
Now, how do you choose who is in the Fringe Festival?
We actually do it by lottery. So anybody that applies has a shot of being in. And what we do at the Providence Fringe Festival is once we have everybody, all the applications in, then we start putting the schedule together based on the number of venues we have. And if it looks like we're going to have to do that lottery, which it has the last few years, we then add venues so that we can, you know, make sure we get everybody in the festival. So
theoretically, if you apply, then you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's how we like it.
So you really kind of have no idea what you're going to get?
No idea at all. Yeah, it's great, actually. And you see some really weird out there stuff if you're open to it. And then some of the stuff is just incredibly good.
I take it it's not your traditional, you're going to go sit in a theater in a seat and there's a stage. I mean, some of these venues are very different.
Yes. The Dean Hotel, this is our second year with them, actually. And this is a... You know, only 12 audience members can get in to see a show over there at a time. They rent us a room for the week, and these are very intimate, like one-on-one shows with the artists, so that kind of thing, yeah.
So the show's in a room?
Yes, so it's in a hotel room, yeah.
What is maybe the fringiest thing that you've seen in putting these things on?
Well, last year there were these students, and they were actually local, but... Yeah, I don't even know if they were cats, but they were basically purring and meowing or something and rolling around. They had on like glitter and these boas, while a video of them doing the same thing in a room somewhere else played behind them. And it went on for like 45 minutes. It was the strangest thing I've ever sat through. And that was really exciting to see that.
I'm talking to Josh Short, founder, producer of the Providence Fringe Festival, Fringe PVD 2016. Josh, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us about this, and best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
More information about both of these festivals, Newport Jazz and Providence Fringe, can be found on our website, ripr.org. I'm Chuck Hinman, Rhode Island Public Radio.